Hi, I'm Juliet. I'm an alcoholic. Okay. So this is my story. Growing up, I grew up in a really good family. Very supportive, loving family. And I was really sheltered. And I was really shy for a long time. When I always felt like something was really different about me. I don't know. I just felt like I was just separate from everyone. I always had like the feeling that I was unlike everyone else. So I just had a hard time connecting with other people. However, when I first tried my first drug, it was an amazing experience for me, and it showed me a whole nother world that I didn't know about. I started drinking alcoholically from the very beginning. There's drugs in my story, so I'm going to talk about them. So I'm just letting you know now. I suffered from anxiety and depression in my high school years when I first started using and drinking. However, it was more of an alcoholic anxiety and depression than it was a mental illness. My solution was alcohol. And any problem I had, I would figure out what drug would be best for this. I had a really large workload, and so I started doing lots of Ritalin and Adderall, stuff like that. And then I would get really stressed out and anxious because that drug makes you stressed out and anxious. And so I would do lots of Xanax, and then I discovered alcohol more. It gave me the sense of relief that I was looking for. It was the only thing that I really knew, and it was very, very important to me that I had that in my life. And I don't know, from when I wasn't using or drinking, I was thinking about it, and it started off as just that type of stuff. And shortly after, I started having consequences. My drinking increased a lot, and just little things like my mom caught me doing drugs over here, stealing pills over there. And she would say things like, one time she caught me and I was really intoxicated and I couldn't lie to her because everything pointed to the fact that I was an alcoholic and there was nothing else I could say. I said, "Mom, I've been addicted to mind-altering substances the past year." And she didn't believe me, and I didn't know what to do about it. I said, "I don't know, maybe I should go to AA or NA." And she said, "Don't go there. There's a bunch of riffraff there." So I didn't do anything about the problem for a while. But things started happening. I started crashing cars and stuff like that. So I went to my first treatment center. And the treatment center it was a religious one. I can't think of the name of the religion right now. But it was serious religion. They spoke in tongues. And it was frightening because I was an atheist. It didn't work out. I ended up drinking there. My parents came and picked me up at this time. They were still there for my rescue. And so I went back home and relapsed. Well, I didn't relapse because I wasn't working any sort of program, but picked back up again and a few times. So she's like, okay, fine, we're taking you to AA. And she took me to the nicest area that she could find. So I went to my first AA meeting, which was really interesting. I don't remember very much. It was after I went to a psych ward and they put me on lots of meds and stuff. So I just wasn't there, and they told me to get a white chip, and I wasn't sure what a white chip was, so I got one. And I found my first home group and my first sponsor, and it was amazing. I had an amazing sponsor. But I wasn't willing to go to any lengths for my sobriety, so I just kept going back out again, and I thought it was still working for me. I really believed in my heart that it was still working for me. And any time that I would go back out, my sponsor would say, so was it fun? And I'd say, yes, it was awesome. And she goes, what happened? And I said, well, I would get all dressed up and hang outside of Walgreens. And I'd wait for a man to walk by and ask him to buy me alcohol. And he would do it. And I would drive my car to the back of the Publix parking lot and drink my alcohol and smoke my cigarette. And it was amazing. She said, that's not a party, Juliet. That's not a party. So I ended up going to my second treatment center because my parents realized they couldn't do anything for me, and it was kind of their way of kicking me out because I wasn't really allowed back. And at this second treatment center, it was amazing. Treatment was really fun. I met people that were my own age, and the problem, people really liked the facade I put up. So I thought they liked me, and that was really important to me. So I just goofed around in treatment mostly, but I wanted to be sober a little bit, but nowhere near like the willingness that I needed. So this was in Fort Lauderdale, and I went to a halfway house, and the halfway house was amazing. Everything was really fun for me. Like, I just thought of it as fun. And then the thing with treatment centers is there's people that are a lot worse off than you are usually. I was really sheltered, like I said. So I had lots of seeds being planted in my mind about drugs that I hadn't used before. And I didn't purposely try to relapse on them, on drugs that I've never done before. But when I had 4 months, I set in my mind that I'm going to relapse now. Because I was miserable, and I was working 3 jobs, and I wasn't working AA at all. I thought I was. But it wasn't at the degree it needed to be. So I drank, and I needed to find drugs. So I drove my car to the bus station because I knew there were lots of sketchy people there. And I found a man that could provide me with substances. So I went to him, and he stole my $20. So I found some children. Well, no, I found kids my own age that were walking on the they were walking on the railroad tracks, and I went up to them and I said, I really need to be messed up right now. Can you please help me? And they said, yes, we're about to go smoke crack. And I said, okay, I'm with you. But I said, listen, this can only take 2 hours because I have to get back to work. I have to be at my job. I never made it to work. My curfew was 1 a.m., and I came home at 8 a.m. I've never experienced fiending like that before. So they sent me to detox. In detox, I made all sorts of plans with people to use drugs after with them. And then I went to, like, another halfway, and things started getting really bad. Really, really bad. I'm not built for the streets at all. And I trust people too much and stuff, and I talk to strangers all the time, and it's not good to do that in a blackout, and some really bad things happened to me because of this, because I just was so clueless, and I had to learn how to do things that could support my habit. I was homeless, and I was just running around Fort Lauderdale, really confused and really scared and miserable. Bad things kept happening to me, and people kept robbing me, and I ended up going to my third treatment center. This treatment center was still fun. I was still having fun in treatment. So I stayed sober 4 months, relapsed, went to treatment again, then stayed sober another 4 months, relapsed, and went to treatment again. So this last time that I went to treatment in January, my sobriety date is January 21st, 2014. The last time that I went, what happened, I had a spiritual experience. What happened was, I was in treatment for the fifth time, and my parents were livid with me, so I took that as, I take everything the wrong way. And I took that as they didn't love me anymore, and that they were they're not going to be there for me ever again, and I was completely hopeless. I was really hopeless. I had no one to turn to. All I had was God. That's the only thing that I could possibly turn to. So I prayed a really sincere prayer, and I prayed, I needed the willingness to let go of needing the obsession. I needed to let go of the obsession. So I prayed that, and in the morning, I wake up and I feel a lot lighter on my feet, and I feel like everything is going to be okay. I didn't plan for that to happen. It's a really beautiful thing what happened. I think that I'm pretty sure the obsession to use and drink was lifted from me at that time, and because, I have 7 months today, and I've had, there's been a few times in my sobriety where I felt like using, but it wasn't like my heart was beating like really fast, and I was clenching like that, and I don't have the obsession, do you get what I'm saying? Okay, thank you. And so I started working the steps, and there's promises written all over the big book, everywhere, and it's amazing how they start coming true. It's so cool. I wish that in meetings we read all we picked out all the different promises out of the big book and put them in one big collage, because there's way more than the ninth step promises that we always talk about. So each time that I do an action that I don't really want to do, or I know that I need to do, something, I get a benefit out of it, and I'm working on enriching my spiritual life. I need to meditate. My sponsor tells me meditation is really important, which I don't understand yet. But and I was worried that I wasn't working my 10th step very well, because I don't know. I dyed my hair purple yesterday. And I did it. I was very sneaky about it. I live with my parents. I was very sneaky about it, and I didn't tell my mom and dad. So I just came home like this, And she was really upset about it. And it's really cool how the steps worked in this time, because we sat down and talked about it, and I said, it says in the 10th step, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And I was wrong, and I promptly admitted it. I don't regret it, because I like it a lot, but I told her, like, I know I was wrong, I'm sorry about that. So, and the 12th step is really awesome also. Okay, steps 1 through 12 are amazing. The steps have benefited, have done so much for me. I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for them. And if it wasn't for, because I can't stay sober on my own. I've tried. And I had to pray that prayer that I needed the willingness to let go, because I didn't have the willingness. So, I don't know. Sometimes I have moments where I just feel, I feel overwhelmed with gratitude, and those moments are amazing. It's like those moments of gratitude, like, you know how when you're drinking, you haven't started drinking, but when you take, like, the first 2 drinks where you have, like, that buzz of, like, excitement, like, okay, I can do this, you know? That moment right before you go over the edge and the craving starts again, like, that feeling, like, yes, this has begun. That's how you feel when you have those, like, moments of gratitude. I hope that makes sense to you guys. Okay. Thank you. So, I'd like to encourage all of you to keep working the steps and keep being honest and praying and keep doing that stuff. So, thank you for letting me share.